Amen.
Amen. All right. Hi, everybody. I'm really excited to talk about Philippians 2 today because it's all about following Jesus' example. And so our main point today is that Paul says to follow Jesus looks like humbling ourselves before God like Jesus did, obeying God like Jesus did, and sharing the gospel any chance we get just like Jesus. So for the first thing, what is an example? Like, how can we humble ourselves before God? I got a dollar on it. So, like, first one.
For a dollar.
Crispy dollar.
For a dollar?
Okay, like, what is it? What's an example of humbling yourself before God? You. What's your name?
Devin,
yes.
Admitting that you sin.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, another one. Admitting your sin before God. Yep, that's humbling yourself before God. Anybody else? Going once? Going twice? Okay.
There you go. Crispy dollar girl.
Okay.
Five for the next one.
I got nothing else. Sorry. I found it in my Bible. I don't know.
Can we do 1,000 next?
No, I don't have that kind of money. anyways, so humbling ourselves before God, like you said, admitting our sin before God, right? That's like the first step into salvation, right? Is to say, okay, I'm a sinner, God. I need you to help me. And I also know that your death on the cross already paid for my sins. But like I still struggle. I still sin over and over again. And you just have to continue to kind of come to God and say, I can't do this, right? Another way that you can do that, God says, I remember Jesus saying this, that anything you do for the least of these people, you do for God because he created every single one of them. Like, you're all children of God. So if you serve your neighbor in some way, serve your friend, serve a stranger, you are serving God. Like, he wants us to love him and love people. Like, that is, it's that simple. The Great Commission and Great Commandment. So to humble ourselves before God could also look like, some of the examples I came up with were like, you're driving and you let somebody merge in front of you, even though you much rather not do that. Like, you much rather speed up and make it impossible for them to merge because earlier on they cut you off or they honked at you and so you want revenge. I felt that many times in New Jersey, I will say. But the humble thing to do is to let them in and smile and keep your cool. Another way that you can humble yourself before others is to open the door for them. You're walking up to McDonald's and you open the door for, like, you don't know how many people are coming in. It means a lot to people when we do little things like that. People notice. They're like, you went out of the way to serve me. And even though it wasn't a big thing, instead of just like, I don't know, you walk in and you hold the door like this, like, that's still nice. But if you like step out and you hold it, there's something about that. You're honoring that person as they're walking through. I think that that's another way you can humble yourself before God. bless you. Another thing is sacrificing your needs for other people. That means ministry is a lot like that. I mean, think about how much energy, sleep, I don't know, maybe happiness sometimes or pain that like Silas goes through in order to serve you guys. You know, he might have had a hard day, but he comes here and he's excited and he's always cheering you guys on. Like, I haven't known him for that long, but everybody unanimously says, like, you never cease to stop encouraging us and like always have this, I don't know, like, it's a good day to be alive. And it does so much for everybody else. It's contagious. So thank you, Silas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To celebrate, I'm going to move two people from this table. Adrian, you get a new spot in front of Chuck. And Caleb, you as well. All right? Caleb and Adrian, you get a new spot.
Nice. Woo!
Yeah,
yes.
Your body spray.
The honor, the
great,
yeah. Okay, so that's just one way. So following Jesus' example looks like humbling ourselves before God. And you could keep going on and on about what that really means. Because if we went as far as Jesus, he said to God, like, okay, if you could take this cup from me, the fact that he had to die on the cross, that would be great. But I'm going to do it if it's your will. And that's exactly what he did. He obeyed God. And so the next one is to obey God. To obey God means to do something maybe you don't want to do. It means, I don't know why this is so hard for us Christians, but somebody who's been a Christian for a long time, but reading my Bible gets old, or like, I hate to say that because it's living and active and so powerful, and it's such a gift that we have it freely. No one's here like, oh, you have a Bible, I'm going to come arrest you. Like, I have freedom to share this. And it wasn't like that. And it's not like that in a lot of places in the world. But there are times where I get really selfish and I just scroll on Instagram for hours and I feel disgusting. And I've been so immersed in the world that I'm like stuck there. Like, I have so much anxiety and I'm afraid about this thing and I'm angry. Like, it makes you just a mess. Because we were meant to like live on his word. Like, it's what fuels us. Like, without it, we just do not function. So to obey God might just mean sitting down and reading your Bible. Because in Psalms 1, it says to meditate on the word of God, not letting it depart, neither day or night. And that, kind of to summarize, at the end it says, if you do this, you will thrive like a tree planted by streams of water. Like, if you do these things, simple thing of just meditating on scripture, just like remembering one, even one verse can change your whole day, your whole life. For somebody who hasn't read scripture, right? Like, they're going to be thirsty all their life. They're never going to be satisfied. They're always going to be looking for answers and not find any. But the second, maybe even like the first verse they read in the Bible could absolutely change their life. Like, the Bible is like a weapon and a superpower, and it's a sword. It's just amazing. And to meditate on it means that, like, just even thinking about it, thinking about the word of God will, like, strengthen us. It'll help us to be strong like these trees. They won't go down in a big storm because they're rooted, because they have the water that they need. And it says that we are just like that if we meditate on his word. So that's a way that you can obey, is simply reading one verse a day. If you can't do it, you know, if it's too hard, maybe you're angry at God, maybe things in your life don't make sense and you actually don't want to read his word, or you feel like a failure and you have so much shame that you can't even come to his word, like, even one verse, it can change everything. That's one way we can obey God. And it's really, like, that's really small. Like, God doesn't require that much of us. Like, he deserves so much more, but he just says, like, just come to me. Come to me when you're angry. Come to me when you're sad. Come to me when you actually don't want to. Choose the unselfish option every time. Recently, I have just noticed, like, a flood of selfish thoughts. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to serve anybody else. I don't want to. Just absolute. It's because of the world, right? It, like, creeps in. It feeds you. And which is silly, because everybody here around me is constantly serving me. So if anything, I should have this, like, outpouring of, like, oh my goodness, thank you so much. Can I please, like, do something to give back to you? But there are moments where I don't feel that way. And it's like, those people got nothing. They gave everything to me. And I just, you know, threw it away. I was like, that was nice. I appreciate it. But, like, no love was given back. So that might mean, like, sacrificing your sleep to spend time with somebody. It might mean sacrificing wanting to give your ideas, wanting to talk, to just actually sitting next to somebody who's hurting and just, like, listening to them. That's hard enough for me. I want to fix it. And sometimes just sitting there and listening, like Jesus did. Like, he never tried to push himself on anybody. He was walking down the street and saw somebody who was blind and said, okay, let me heal you. He saw somebody else who was lame and he told them, you know, pick up your bed and walk. And he didn't tell them, like, oh yeah, I'm the Messiah that's come to save you all. Like, you're nothing without me. He never, ever had any pride whatsoever, even though he was God on earth. And he didn't die on the cross because he was weak, or because the nails hurt, or because he gave up. He chose to die. He could have easily just ripped those out. He could have avoided the pain too. Like, he could have chosen to not be fully human, to have the nerves to have felt that pain, right? He could have just been like, oh yeah, it actually doesn't hurt, so like, no big deal. He let them mock him and spit on him and tell him that he was a fraud and say, like, if you're really the Son of God, like, why don't you just take yourself off that cross? And because he cared about them, because he loved them so much, he died. He died for us. That is the biggest sacrifice we can ever name in history, ever. Nothing will ever compare to that. But you can sacrifice little things in order to serve one another. And you ought to, because, like, that's, I mean, he did the greatest thing for us. Like, the least we can do is encourage somebody or open the door for them or listen to them when they truly need us and put our phone away and just, like, you know, sit with them truly. We can pray for somebody, you know, instead of, I don't know, watching a movie or something. Like, there are times where God is clearly telling me to pray for somebody, and I'm just like, I don't, that person's rude. Like, I don't want to pray for them. He's like, and then he tells me something like, you know, when they act that way, it's kind of the only way that they can cry out for help. Like, when somebody's acting out, pay attention, because there's something deep down in them that is hurting, and they're just trying to get somebody to notice to help them. Bless you. Goodness. You know, they're just crying out in a, as much as they can, with all the pride and the shame that they feel about having to have help. And so something I heard back home from a camp counselor was that every time you're stuck at a stoplight, instead of being like, ugh, it's gonna take forever, like Center Grove, I think that's what it's the name of it. Oh my goodness. I'm so impatient, apparently, because I was there forever. And then it was like, there's no turn. It's like uncontrolled, which is terrifying. It's uncontrolled light. So like, it's terrifying anyways when it's green. So I sat there for probably 10 minutes because I'm too cautious of a driver. In that moment, I could have prayed for so many people. 10 minutes? I could have prayed for like 100 people if I just said like them by name. And if you're not praying for them, like, you could be the only person praying for them. Like, they truly have, it truly has power. So, like, anytime you're at a stoplight, just stop and just say, okay, God, bring somebody to my mind. Who needs my prayer? Who needs the prayer of a righteous person to heal them, to for you to intercede into their life, for somebody else to, like, run and rescue them? Like, who needs to know? Because you could come any day. I feel like this sounds really intense, okay? I think standing up here, I suddenly got this passion that, like, oh my goodness, what Jesus did for us. Like, I don't deserve it. I'm like, it makes me almost emotional because of just even the recent things that I've done or thought, and I'm just like, you already paid for that. It's incredible. And Paul, right? He killed so many Christians. We don't even know, like, a number, right? And he barged into their houses and dragged them off and mocked them, and everybody watched them die, right? Like, it was not just, like, a murder. It was a humiliation. And so Paul says, now that he's been saved, right? Like, Jesus has intersected into his life. He's blinded him and made him see. And now he says, okay, this is how you need to live. This is Christ's example of humility. I'm just going to read one part of it because this is so good. Okay. Let each of you not look only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Like, he didn't use it as, like, oh yeah, I'm really great, come praise me. I thought of a celebrity in that moment. And I searched actually for like a really good scene of like a fan who was just obsessed with somebody. I found this really creepy YouTube video where this girl does not eat, sleep, work, but spends 8 hours in a day searching, hunting down celebrities to get pictures with them. And she did, like, she would sacrifice everything just to be known, just to, you know, be associated to them, because maybe that will give her worth. Like, even though she didn't say that, like, that's what she was saying. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, Jesus is like the greatest celebrity ever, and yet, like, would we come like fans? Would we like be that dedicated and a little creepy to praise him, to make his name known? Like, that's how we should treat Jesus. And it's crazy how these celebrities who, they're good at singing, right? Or they did a really good thing, so they're famous for that, and that's great. But like, the way that people like bow down to these celebrities, and I'm just like, what? These are like gods in human form or something. But Jesus didn't use the fact that he was God to receive praise, to demand it. In fact, he never demanded it. He even told his disciples, don't tell anybody I'm the Messiah. They're like, but we've been waiting for the Messiah, and you're gonna save us, so like, wouldn't you want them to know? But he said, not yet. It wasn't until after he died that they're like, yep, the guy you crucified rose from the dead, he was the Messiah. You tried and you failed. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. He even washed his disciples' feet. He got baptized by John the Baptist. He did all the things that humans would do. He went to the lowest possible place. He had dinner with the outcasts. He went to the Red Quarter, which I guess is like the untouchables. Like, nobody even looks them in the eye. They're just, everybody keeps their distance and says, don't even touch me or I'll be unclean. Just absolute hatred, really, toward those people. And Jesus says, come to dinner with me. Or he says, let me heal you. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he humbled himself before God. He obeyed God. And then the third thing, which is more practical and we can actually like attain, all this other stuff is like, I cannot do that. Sharing the gospel anywhere and everywhere. And I realized something. He may not have always said like, okay, let me tell you the story of how I was born into this world to save you all from your sin, to save you from Roman terror. He didn't do that, but he like shared the gospel in a way. Like the freedom, the good news that he was going to die for them. He didn't just like share it in the same way, right? Because he hadn't died yet. But when he healed that person who was blind or lame, he like put his hand out and said, even if you touch me, you will be healed. He shared it that way. And I realized like we were given the same power that Jesus has. Like some people, I mean, it may not happen every day, but some people have the ability to heal people these days. Like when our prayers, they go up to heaven. We can pray against evil things happening. We have great power. But in a practical way, we can just be kind as we walk into the coffee shop and we ask the person how their day's going and we truly ask them. Or we say thank you, or we clean up after ourselves, or we tell somebody, like if we see like they're down, maybe a stranger, you know, ask them if they're okay, which it takes a lot of guts to do that. I feel like there's such a fear of like embarrassing yourself. I don't know what it is, but it's keeping us from being a light. It's dimming our light. And more, every time I talk up here, I keep hearing myself say like, be the light, be the light. It's just like a simple thing. But we're just like little lights compared to Jesus, right? But like, there's so many of us here. You guys can do so much in people's lives. Like, just by telling them like they're doing a good job, or telling them that they need to stay on this earth, right? Suicide rates are skyrocketed because of the anxiety, because people don't know who they are, because of the lies, because of the confusion of, am I a girl or a boy or nothing? I have no meaning. I don't know who I am. And I think it's just, like, so urgent that we, like, we stand out. We're supposed to be God's lights, and we go out and we bring light to a little place at a time, and all of a sudden, all of it, I imagine like a globe coming in with light on all sides, and that can happen. Like, Jesus did not act like a celebrity. He didn't smile for the paparazzi or demand praise, but he healed people. He told them the truth. He told the Pharisees what for. He pointed out the fact that they had too much greed, that they couldn't be happy that he was there to save them from their sin. They were supposed to lead those people to be pointed to Jesus. But instead, they were so consumed with greed that they couldn't do it. They were just too prideful that they couldn't even be thankful or say thank you to Jesus for coming. Yeah. I'm like overwhelmed by just the way that God can speak through you sometimes, and you just forget. Like, I may have written something out, but I know that the things that are coming out of my mouth, a lot of them are not what I wrote down. So God is definitely speaking. And I'm so thankful to get to be a vessel. We're vessels, we're lights, we're like the, you guys know the Mafia game? Like, where there's a doctor? We're like the doctor, like, we're their only hope, right? If somebody chooses to them, you know? Like, the enemy's coming for people, especially people who don't know. And they have no protection from the demonic realm because they don't know God. Like, the Holy Spirit is inside us. We are possessed by the Holy Spirit. And so we can't be possessed by a demon, right? I'm protected. I can say in the name of Jesus, you get out of here. But people who don't know God don't have that. And they need us. They really need us. We're like firefighters or police officers, or like, we have a hidden role. We don't wear a uniform, but we have the same responsibility. And I charge you with that. But also, I'm not perfect. I don't always do that. I live a selfish life. Most of my life has been selfish. And if you just seek to follow Jesus' example and you look for opportunities to serve, to obey God, and to share the gospel anywhere and everywhere, it really is that simple. And God is going to use it. The seeds that you plant are going to grow trees. And they're going to just spread. And yeah, you never know what God can do with one thing that you do. All right, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful day. I thank you for raining on us. I thank you for giving us sun. I thank you for taking care of this earth that we don't have to worry about running out of anything. Like, you have it covered. I thank you for this message and that you absolutely gave it to me. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that is in all of us, those who believe in Christ Jesus. And I thank you that you sacrificed your life for us so that we would be saved, so that we could also save. I thank you that you give us authority and the ability to save people, to have power, even though we don't deserve it. I pray for each student here, Lord, that these things would soak in, that they would not let it just go in one ear, out the other, not because I'm talking, but because you're talking. Lord, let it soak in. Let it become part of their life. Let it be something they never forget. If they can't remember what to do, or they feel like they don't know how to follow Jesus, that these three things would just be an easy thing to remember, and that they would meditate on your word so that they can be a tree planted by streams of water and thrive. And we just thank you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Deli.